You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
Keeping kids safe online is sort of like a Facebook relationship status. It's complicated. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. There are growing concerns about the harms of social media for young people, but to protect kids, platforms have to know who is underage. That's why age verification has become a big focus for policymakers. Several states have passed laws that require it, but there are trade-offs to these policies, according to new analysis from Utah State's Center for Growth and Opportunity. Matt Perrault and Scott Brennan of UNC Chapel Hill's Center on Technology Policy co-wrote that research. I asked Scott what age verification systems are in place now.
The first is what we call age gating, and it's basically where users just give their age or more often their birth date. The second one is user-submitted hard identifiers, so things like a government ID. And then finally, there's this category we call inferential age assurance. Basically, platforms are combing through user data to make guesses about the ages of their users. And so they can do age assurance or age verification that way.
That latter one is actually the age inferences is the opening scene for our report, because there was this exchange between the TikTok CEO at the hearing where he testified earlier in the spring and a member of Congress, where TikTok was getting pushed on what are the practices that it uses to protect kids online. And that was something clearly lawmakers were concerned about. And so the CEO started to go into detail about how they use these inferential methods to do that, because in order to protect kids online, you first have to determine who's a kid. And the member of Congress said, oh, that sounds creepy. And I think that really highlights the challenges here for policymakers, which is that if you want platforms to be more and more aggressive about identifying who children are so that we can protect them, that comes with clear downsides. And there are things about inferential approaches that I understand why a lawmaker would respond by saying that sounds creepy. On the flip side, if you want to identify who kids are, that is one of the methods, and I think in many ways a fairly good method to try to determine who the kids on your platform might be.
Scott, what are some of the approaches that states are taking when it comes to requirements for age verification?
So the first big child safety, online child safety bill that was passed by the states was California. But in that, they don't give a lot of specifics about how exactly companies should actually do the verification of user ages. Some of the other state laws, like the adult content bill that was passed by Louisiana and then subsequently a series of other states, have provisions that require things like, you know, a government ID or any commercially reasonable method that relies on public or private transactional data.
And Matt, what kinds of concerns arise with these approaches?
So if you think about ways to understand who kids are, there are some natural things that I think policymakers have thought of. Like, for instance, platforms could collect identification from people. The challenge of that is that we're at a moment when there are, I think, understandable concerns about data privacy and data collection online. There are other downsides, I think, of an ID-oriented approach as well, such as the equity implications of it. And if you gate access to technology tools, then even people who aren't kids wouldn't be able to access those tools if they lack access to the identification method.
Yeah, Scott, did you want to add to that?
The other two kind of big trade-offs are usability. So what does it mean for user experience to have to, you know, repeatedly go through sort of age verification? That might, of course, be a sort of more minor concern, right, when we're talking about these big questions about keeping kids safe or protecting user privacy. But it is something that we need to consider. And then of course, the legality of age verification itself, which it's sort of ongoing arguments about the constitutionality of government-mandated age verification requirements.
So walk me through some of the key recommendations that you put out for policymakers to approach this issue.
So we have recommendations in three categories: balance, specificity, and understanding. So balance means policymakers should look at the costs and benefits of different approaches. One clear opportunity there is to actually conduct cost-benefit analyses of proposed legislation to understand better what the benefits might be in terms of identifying who is a kid and protecting children, and then what the cost might be. As we've discussed, there are a lot of trade-offs as well. Specificity means providing enough detail so that companies understand their obligations and best practices, and so that users understand the protections that they get and the risks that they might be exposed to when they're online. So one of the examples there is that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, currently provides guidance on how companies can comply with current requirements in child safety. And we think that they can expand that guidance to be somewhat more detailed to provide companies with a little bit more instruction about how they should approach the issue. And again, provide additional clarity to users. The final category is understanding. We think that there's work that policymakers can do to develop a deeper understanding of this issue, and a deeper understanding of the trade-offs in it. One of the obvious ones here is that right now we're at this moment of experimentation at the state level, where states are trying lots of different methods for identifying who kids are and trying to protect kids more effectively. We think the federal government is really well positioned to fund research looking across different states to identify what methods work better and what are a little bit less effective.
And Scott, what other recommendations did you have?
All of these recommendations really kind of tie back into the trade-offs that we identify in different age verification methods. And the goal here is to provide regulators a toolkit for how they can help platforms do the work of balancing those different trade-offs and understanding what are the real sort of costs and benefits of different approaches.
Scott, what are the implications of having sort of a patchwork approach, sort of state by state, that we see emerging?
One of our recommendations is actually for the federal government to fund a comparative study that uses the fact that states are adopting kind of different approaches to better understand what might actually work, and to think of this not as an unworkable patchwork, but as an opportunity to experiment and to learn from that experimentation.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, often a patchwork is viewed as problematic, and I think there are reasons it's problematic here. But there also are some benefits in that we're in the early days of this. Online safety is an issue that's really important for parents, for teachers, for communities all over the country. And so I think it is helpful that there is some experimentation and some activity in this area. The flip side is that having a patchwork of different regulatory regimes can be hard for startups. It's really hard for them then to offer a business across state lines. Compliance burdens, I think, typically disproportionately affect smaller platforms, so it can make them harder to compete, whereas larger platforms can put more resources into developing a different approach for Louisiana or Arkansas or New York. And so there are certainly downsides as well.
That was Scott Brennan and Matt Perrault at UNC Chapel Hill. We'll have a link to Scott and Matt's full report from the Center for Growth and Opportunity at Utah State. It's at our website, marketplacetech.org. I noted the growing concerns about kids and social media that have spurred these policy discussions. Of course, last month, the U.S. Surgeon General issued an advisory about those risks. On the show, we spoke to Dr. Mitch Prinstein at the American Psychological Association about research on how kids and their still developing brains are uniquely affected by social media. States like Utah, California, Louisiana, and a handful of others have now passed laws attempting to regulate social media use for kids, with things like stricter age verification, age limits, and age-appropriate design standards. But as Scott pointed out, many of these laws are likely to face legal challenges on First Amendment grounds. And just last week, a group of adult entertainment business interests sued the state of Louisiana over its law that websites must verify user ages with a state-issued digital driver's license or be held liable for, quote, content harmful to minors. The lawsuit alleges that law violates free expression and due process by potentially denying access to websites for adults who can't provide verification documentation or who worry about their personal data being hacked. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.